Yet, I will survive. This scripture that we have before us today, this scripture that has been lingering with us, we've been in this series face to face, and we have looked at different characters throughout this series. Ishmael is a very interesting character to me. The Bible declares that he is a descendant of Abraham. He may not have been the legitimate line to the promise, but yet he is the son of Abraham. There's a lesson there. If you are a descendant of Abraham, you're blessed. The one thing you got to know is that in Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, that in Christ we are sons and daughters of Abraham. And because we are part of that descendant, tell your neighbor, I will survive. Whatever circumstances you may find yourself in life that may come to threaten your very existence, you got to know that you will survive. In the heart of a bustling city, there was a man named Elijah, who was faced with life's hardest storms. A dedicated father and husband, he worked to provide for his family, but life took a turn. He lost his job unexpectedly, the mounting of bills, and the uncertainty of his future. Elijah, on one rainy evening, was walking through the park aimlessly. He sat on the bench, ready to give up. He felt the weight and the pressure of life. It was in that moment he remembered a story that his mother told him. His mother told him that no matter how hard life may get, even the smallest light can shine in the darkest of time. Gazing at the raindrops from the city lights, Elijah felt a spark of hope. He realized that his current situation was not the end of his story, but a challenging chapter. Anybody here has some challenging chapters? And with a deep breath, he whispered to himself, I will survive. See, this moment marked his turning point. And I'm not just saying I will survive because I'm saying in this year, in this season, you got to have something you can say to yourself that will encourage you, something like, I will. Come on, help me, somebody. You see, even though Elijah's journey was tough, he remained unbroken. He remained unmoved because he understood that he would survive. Hagar and Ishmael had a long road ahead of them. They were put out of their comfort zone. They were an outcast now. And they had to journey not just through life, the emotion of being ostracized and isolated and pushed off to the side and in the trash heap of life. No, it's more than that. Here's what they had to face. They had to face the wilderness of life. Not just an emotional wilderness, but an actual wilderness. The text is clear. The text is very clear because Abraham did not want to do this, but God instructed Abraham to listen to Sarah's voice. Here's where I'm going with this. Sometimes what God is telling you to do may not make sense. Sometimes what God is asking you to do may not make any sense at all. But what you and I have to understand is that God knows best. Now, the reason why I know God knows best, because the one thing you need to understand about God, God is transcendent. What does that mean, Pastor? It means God does not exist in time. Take me up a little bit. God does not exist in what? In time. God, who sits in eternity and looks down the corridor of time, is the one who knows what will happen next. That's how we know we can pray. That's how we know we can trust God, because God does not exist in time. He made time for us. Is that a beautiful, encouraging understanding or revelation? Because watch this. If you know that someone knows about your tomorrow, then you can go to that someone and say, God, help me with my tomorrow. I don't know what my tomorrow holds. I don't know what this wilderness experience will bring, but I know that you know. And when you know, who knows? Come on, help me, somebody. Then you can face tomorrow with some hope. And so today, we find, imagine, here's a mother. And one thing I found out about a mother is this: she'll do whatever it takes to survive. Do whatever it takes to make sure her child is taken care. There's something that God puts inside all of us as parents, amen, that will cause you to do some things, to sacrifice for your children. So we find this point, no matter, even though Ishmael was a descendant. See, here's the thing about life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here's the thing about life. Sometimes in the hardest days of life, knowing that you're blessed and knowing who you are, sometimes that's not good enough in the midst of your challenges. But what you got to do is you got to remember whose you are. You got to remember who has brought you this far, because in the midst of the wilderness of life, we forget the basics. So the text says that last week I told you will survive because you are a descendant of Abraham. Because God will provide for you. And not only that, but God will protect you. But check the text out, verse 15. It says, when the water. See, Abraham gave his first child support check, and it only lasted that long. Didn't last long. He gave him bread and water. I don't know how long that he thought that bread and water can run out. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It goes to show you that material things can run out. And when material things run out, you and I are going to need something greater to rescue us in the wilderness of life. See, man can only provide for you so much, but there's going to come a time where you're going to need more than bread and water. Oh, I thank God for the revelation this morning. I thank God for the illumination this morning, because the text says, here's what it says. It says, when the water in the skin was used up, what did this mother do? The text says, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Now, here's the thing. She could have thought about herself. She could have hid underneath the shade, but she understood with the sun beating down on her son, the sun beating down on him, they are parched, they are dehydrated, they're hungry. She pushed him under the bushes to shield him from the elements that was about to kill him. So I believe I will survive. First thing, yeah, because of my faith. You see, this is what faith is all about. Faith is not about you rescuing you. Faith is about you helping somebody and having the faith that God's going to take care of you. When you are in a no water situation, you know what that means? We have to trust God no matter what it looks like. And even in the worst of circumstances, Hagar's motherly instincts kicked in. Watch this. She got him some shade in the middle of a desert. Come on, help me, somebody. And in a no water situation, I believe that we will survive only because of our what? Faith. Your faith is what will bring you through some of the toughest situations in life. What is faith? The evidence of things hopeful. Hallelujah. Do I have anybody? I want to say to somebody here today that you got to understand that your faith is what's going to bring you through 2024. It may not look good in some periods of life, and you may just have one bush but two people to feed. I want to stop by to tell you, you got to trust God, but you got to use your faith in the midst of experiences. The text says, everything had ran out. What do you do when everything runs out? You use your faith. There's a reason why it's ask, seek, and knock. Some of you just want to pray and think that it's going to show up at the doorsteps. You have to ask, you have to seek, and you have to what? Knock. The text says, 16, then she went and sat down opposite him. Oh, I can imagine what's going through this mother's mind. The text tells us. The text says, and she sat opposite him about a bow shot away. For she said, do not let me see the boy die. See, faith was gone. You see, she had given up at this point. But I want to tell you today that I will survive, second thing, because I refuse to accept defeat. Don't ever start speaking like that. Don't ever start speaking like stuff is already dead in your life. Some of us are already making funeral arrangements for circumstances and situations in your life. Because let me say this to you, it ain't over until God says it's over. It may look tough right now. The boy looks like he's about to die. You look like you're about to die. But I stop by to tell you, I refuse. I'm going to say it one more time. I refuse to accept defeat as my final stay on this earth. No matter what it is. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I don't understand it, but I stop by to tell somebody, you got to refuse to accept defeat. As long as you got breath in your body, as long as you can see, as long as you can breathe, you still got hope, because God can take you from the wilderness and move you up to a life you never had. Do I have anybody here? Yes, she's crying. Yes, he thought he's about to die. But I stop by and tell somebody, don't you ever accept defeat. That's what we do. When you have no faith, you accept life. I refuse to lose. And I won't accept it. You may say to Al, I'm going to turn that Al into W. Come on. Because Romans 8:28 says what? God causes all things to work together. Those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That I refuse to accept. Watch the text. Verse 17. God heard. Now here's the interesting part. God did not hear Hagar's voice, but the boy is a descendant of Lord have mercy. Now I see why the enemy wanted me to get distracted today. Watch this. You are a descendant of Abraham. So I'm just trying to say, you're struggling right now. You got money problems. You got relationship problems. All kinds of stuff going on. Don't you think that God can't hear your voice? You're trying to call somebody to pray for you. God will hear your voice.
Come on, preacher.
Your voice. He didn't hear Hagar. He did not hear Hagar's voice. The Bible says God heard what? The voice. God heard the lad crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, girl, what's wrong with you? Don't you know who you are? Why do we live the way we live, y'all? Why do we act the way we act? Do you know who you are? And when you know who you are, you don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to give up in life. So I will survive.
Come on now.
You with me? I will survive.
Come on,
dang it.
There it is.
Because I know God hears my what? I know he hears my cry. I know he hears my voice because we are the son of Abraham. Boy, if we start, listen, you think God don't know you were crying? You think God don't know your current situation? You think that God does not know what's going on with you right now in church? God's checking your mind right now. He knows what's going on in your mind right now. And he knows exactly what you need in the midst of whatever we're going through. This passage is real. God, the lad crying. God, you hear me crying. He didn't see him crying. He heard him crying. Lord have mercy. And be careful who you make cry. Oh, you don't want to keep doing that. But I stopped by to tell you, even in your loneliest moment, where you feel like you just can't keep going, and when you start shedding a tear, you got to know that the God that you serve, that you are a descendant of, will hear your cry. Now, here's the thing about God hearing your cry. See, he hears your cry. Hagar heard her son crying. But she was exhausted of all resources to help him.
Hey, come on now, help me.
God hears the cry, and he can do something about it. Aren't you glad that he can do something about something that nobody else can do something about? That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. And if we keep serving him, it's going to pay off after a while. And the text close out. It says, God comforts Hagar and says, girl, what's wrong with you? I find that question very interesting. Doesn't say she answered. But the text says, what is the matter with you? Why did God ask that question? Why, what is the matter with you? You know what had happened to Hagar? She had given up. And what she did not understand the first time when she ran away, listen to me. This is what happens to us, y'all. You'll come to church and God will give you a word this Sunday. 5 months from now, what's said today may come to pass. Or you may find yourself in a situation where you forget what God had revealed to you on this Sunday. Way back in chapter 21, in chapter 18, chapter 17, somewhere around there.
Come on, I know where you're going.
Here's what happened. She ran away. And the same God told her, baby, now go back. I got you. Because your son is going to be great. I'm going to give there's nations in him. That's why he asked that question. What's wrong with you? Have you forgotten what I told you? That greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That I've been up, hey, and I've been down. But I've been young and I've been old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I wish I had some people here. Though they slay me, yet will I trust him. What I'm trying to say to you today is, what is wrong with you? Good question. What is wrong with you? God that told you, I got you. Remember when you joined church, you were so happy. Oh, I wish I had somebody. What happened? It's just wearing off. Have you forgotten? And let me say this, it's not over until he says it's over. And some of us have not lived up to the potential just yet because we sidebarred. And we're trying to take shortcuts.
Oh, God in heaven.
But God said, what is the matter with you? Do not what? Fear. For God has heard the voice of the lad where, watch this, where he is.
Come on now.
My last point. I will survive. Because God knows where I am and the condition. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he knows whether you're suffering or whether you're prospering? He knows whether you're up and he knows whether you're down. He knows you're crying. He knows you're complaining. He knows everything. Aren't you glad that the God of the universe can hear your voice when you say, Abba, when you say Abba, when you say Father, when you say El Elyon, when you say Jehovah Jireh, when you call on his name, don't you know that he can hear your voice? This is God's omniscience at work. This is God's omniscience at work. What we find is that God knows, he hears, he sees, he understands, and you will survive. Faith is not equal to feelings. To allow your feelings to guide your faith is like a truck driver being controlled by the cargo in his truck rather than by the wheel that he's steering. It is the wheel that controls the cargo, not the cargo that controls the wheel. My question to you, is your faith steering your life, or is it the cargo, the junk, the stuff you got packed up in your life? Is that's what we use to guide, not our faith. But when you use your faith, you will survive. Give God a hand clap of praise, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you, Lord, for illumination. Thank you, God, for his power this morning. His word is true. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're in that give up state. You're ready to just give up. Throw in the towel. You're at your wit's end. But I got news for you. You will survive. If you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God, the God of the universe, who knows, who hears, who sees. Sometimes when you read the Bible, things just don't make no sense. I said, how am I going to preach Hagar? How am I going to preach this? Because this stuff ain't right. I mean, why would you put this woman out? Because your wife is hating, and she the one that created the situation. But God says, I can take that thing and turn it around. And whatever it is in your life that's causing you to want to throw in the towel, maybe you don't have the faith. Maybe you don't have what you think you need. But I stopped by to tell you, God knows where you are and he knows your condition.